At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Let's get it. 93.7 The Ticket, 402-464-5685. Starter him and text line. You want to be part of what we're doing? Load up those typing fingers and get yourself all set. You can follow us on the live video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo Channel 961, Amazon Prime if you're nasty, and you want to jump on over, go ahead and do it. You can find it anywhere you want to do it. Spotify if you need. It is a fine, fine day, and I'm ready to talk a little ball, but you have to set the table. There has to be a palate cleanser. There has to be something for your soul.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Glorious, absolutely spectacular, BT, Barry Thompson, the coach, joining us on the ticket. What's happening, brother?
Nothing. So good, I can't call it, man. John Facenda, the dulcet tones of John Facenda.
Oh man,
you got that and plum nickels. I love it.
Oh man, love get it all in, bro. Sometimes you gotta drop it back,
man. Right. Yes,
like you got to get it in. Couple of things in play. Being a quarterback guy as you are and a Raiders guy, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate that feeling you got when the Raiders announced that we're officially in the Gardner Minshew era of Raider quarterback play.
Gardner didn't look too good. I want to describe to your listeners what kind of Raider fan I am. Yeah. I am a Raider fan. I don't get into the drafts. I don't get into who they pick. I don't care who's coaching. That's my team, and that's the way it goes. And just let you know, if they win a preseason game, I'm going to act a fool because the wins are few and far between. So I'm going to wave the flag, put on my black and silver. I don't care. I'm a Raider fan. So, the Gardner Minshew is – you know, you think about budgets and money, and obviously they're trying to do something and set themselves up. And it's like, you know, are you really that smart? You better grab it while it's hot. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's spectacular that when you think of the Raiders, the first thing you think about with quarterback is budget. How not Raider is that?
That is so un-Raider-like.
Oh.
You know, Al would be twisting in his grave a little bit because he's saying, where's the vertical game? Where's the vertical game? Get me downfield. Get me somebody fast on the edge. And it's changed. And, you know, I'm a Raider fan, so it's weird. I do like the Jack Tatum highlights have been making the rounds in the YouTube lately. People have discovered that he actually pops some people. And that type of thing. So that kind of keeps me going.
Yeah, but that makes me sad that you have to explain to people Jack Tatum.
Well, you know, I'm not sad about it, but I get your point. I get your point.
Like,
What really made me sad was I turned on and watched that Bo Nix character at Denver, and Coach Payton seems like they got some common sense going. And that made me real sad.
Yeah, it looked like and think about that. Wow, ouch. Yeah. I'm sorry, Barry. Yeah. That Gardner Minshew is the worst quarterback in the division.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, boy. Oh,
well, I mean, not in the mustache contest. In the mustache, he's the best in the conference now.
Hey, Barry, I cannot remember a Super Bowl quarterback with a mustache like that.
You know, that's a great question. Has there been a Super Bowl quarterback with a mustache?
I think about that.
I mean, Joe Namath had the Fu Manchu. Did he have
it? No, he didn't have it Super Bowl Sunday.
He didn't have it when he won. Yeah, I'm trying to think who else. You know, Joe Montana was clean shaven. Brady was clean shaven. I can't even think of a beard making it to the Super Bowl. Right. You know, maybe in all those pre-draft tests, they ought to, you know, ask a quarterback, does he want
to. Like, are you going to shave or not? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm trying to understand it. There's I'm looking at the picture. He was clean shaven.
Yeah.
During the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bart Starr, Johnny Unitas won one. Who we had.
We literally just went through all of the starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And one, there weren't many.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, even losing, I don't even think losing quarterbacks have, I can't think of losing quarterbacks had a
stash. I mean, Doug had a mustache.
Doug who?
Williams.
He did. Not the Super Bowl, he didn't. Oh, he has the buzz.
I now have to look. I literally have to.
Nick Foles had a small mustache going.
He did.
One with the Eagles. He very minor. I don't know. Minor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have all these intelligence tests and stuff like that, and they were saying in the Denver game that Sean Payton was so unbelievable about Nick that he at one point he says, "Empty your backpack." He told him, empty your backpack and put everything on the table. You know, he was trying to find that the kid had a vice or something. So maybe I would ask, hey, what's your opinion on facial hair?
So Doug had a mustache, but he didn't have a beard.
Okay.
Nothing on his chin.
Yeah.
But he had the thin. Actually, for him, it was thin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he had a thin mustache.
That's crazy.
Roethlisberger didn't have a mustache.
You know who would have done it? Kenny Stabler. Kenny Stabler.
Remember that era?
He just had the hair and the sideburns.
Right.
He had the hair, the sideburns. Yeah, that's wild. You know, I'm surprised.
We keep searching.
I'm surprised that all the draft gurus haven't brought that up when they're drafted.
Yeah, it said that. Okay, so it showed. Yeah, so during in the Vikings Super Bowl, he had a beard and a mustache. So when they beat the Vikings,
Stabler
did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He did,
and that's kind of befitting that he would be the kind of
the one, right?
That's the major thing, right?
Right. That would be
great trivia question.
Rodgers had a mustache. He didn't have a beard.
That's right. He's rocked a mustache from time to time.
Did Ferragamo have?
No.
No, not with the Rams.
Ferragamo?
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
And what about Bradshaw?
Bradshaw may have had some scruff.
Yeah.
Actually, in the Cowboys one, he may have had. Just in the Cowboys one, right? Like, you remember
this
the
is
one.
Important stuff when it comes to quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing, right? You have to go. There is a thing,
yeah,
that we miss, and we were trying to figure out how many starting quarterbacks. So the conversation you and I were having,
right,
this weekend,
yes,
about and no Bradshaw during. It was he had shaved the beard and kept the mustache for most of the Super Bowls.
You know what's the best thing about this conversation?
No.
Is there some competitive young dude, you know, when you're really competitive person, it doesn't take you much to get you going. There's some competitive dude listening because you know what? I'll be the first quarterback to win a Super Bowl with a mustache.
Well, I mean, no, he shaved him because Chuck Noll would, because remember that was literally a thing. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure Franco Harris kept his beard during those. But it's the thing, right? And we were talking about Big Ten quarterbacks.
Yes.
In the NFL.
Right.
And we tried to go down, we went down the rabbit hole with, aside from Brady, Breeze, Greasy. There was another Russell Wilson, and then there was somebody else.
Yeah, there was one more that we kind of left out, and my comment is how far they were spread apart, given the hype that Big Ten quarterbacks are getting. Oh, you added C.J. Stroud.
I mean, we're talking about in the space that is that there really aren't a lot of Big Ten. Like you asked the question, why would you draft? If you're an NFL franchise, why would you draft a Big Ten quarterback? Because of all the Big Ten quarterbacks drafted, it's literally the four or five that were exceptional. Everybody else is kind of like, And of there have been 58 Super Bowls. And of those 58, the two quarterbacks, so you're talking about 116 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks. Even if you count Brady, like Brady, all the ones that he was in, that there's only like 19 Big Ten starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
That's not a good number.
No, I mean, when you compare to the hype, but the conference gets, I guess it's because of the conference is so good. Like, you know, it makes a little sense that the quarterbacks of these teams would be high profile. But like I said, when you think about their NFL production, it just doesn't kind of measure up to as much as you hear about them when they're in college.
Right? Style of play and skill set that's in play. So those are all things that matter, right?
Yeah.
And you go through and you do your dance, right? Okay, how does this add up? And are you getting bang for your buck?
Yeah.
And we're wrong. We got to add one more. We have to add one more because so as we go through the list, and you know, at the same university that Bob Greasy went to, there was another starting quarterback. As a matter of fact, there was a winning starting quarterback
from Michigan.
No.
Where?
No. Who? Super Bowl IV. Lynn Dawson.
Lynn Dawson
went to Purdue along with he was the predecessor for Bob Greasy.
So wait a second. So Purdue has three, right? They have Greasy, Dawson, and Breeze.
Yeah.
Right?
Like who knew?
They have three of the 19 from Purdue.
Well, and then if you want to, like literally that's what you're talking about.
And because I'm a Raider fan, we're going to add Aiden O'Connell.
No, we're not. But I thought that was why you were asking the question in the first place. Because you saw Aiden O'Connell play. And it was like,
too much credit, DP.
It was like, oh, crap, another Big Ten quarterback. Raiders. Yeah,
credit.
Right, that the numbers, again, if you remove, first of all, that Brady's number exceeds the rest of the Big Ten conference combined.
Combined.
So Dawson. Wow.
I mean, and DP, that kind of proves our point. You look at Dawson, then Breeze, then Brady. That was a big point. Even the guys that made it, they're so spread out, right? Which was the other point about this.
That's so not good. Yeah. It's like we keep asking for numbers, right? And then you realize that the Big Ten Conference, and you're talking about being stretched over the course of time, but that's less than 20%.
Yep.
That is a startling number. That is a starting number. And so then I'll ask you, how does the Big Ten Conference change that? Is it, and mind you, if you're taking that number this year, it changes because the USC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, now add Troy Aikman to the conversation. I believe You can add, there's somebody else. Actually, no, because Plunkett was Stanford.
Yeah, that's another, those are another two schools, UCLA and SC, for the profiles that they get, right, that
Oregon
they had back in the day.
Oregon has not.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, the best quarterback out of Washington is Warren Moon, and he didn't start in a Super Bowl. Right? Like I'm not missing somebody from Washington. USC's best quarterback. Hayden didn't Hayden lose the starting job to Vince Ferragamo?
Yeah, the
so
Rams,
Ferragamo from right? Nebraska gets the nod, but you can't even count him. Tarkenton was Georgia, Stabler was Alabama in the SEC, Staubach was Navy. I don't even know where Ron Jaworski went to college.
Youngstown State.
Ken Anderson was another small college. David Woodley was SEC. Theismann was Notre Dame. Marino was
Augustine College, Division III.
Right. Yep. Jim McMahon was BYU. Tony Eason makes the list for being from Illinois. So he's what? Purdue's Illinois' second best quarterback to Jeff George?
Yep.
Like that's kind of the argument. Elway and Stanford. Phil Simms was not a
Morehead State.
Doug from Grambling.
Yep.
Boomer from Maryland. If you want to give Maryland, but that was ACC Maryland, not Big Ten Maryland. It was Montana, Hostetler, West Virginia. Kelly, Jim Kelly. Again, Mark Rippon from Washington State. Steve Young from BYU, Stan Humphries from Louisiana Tech, Neil O'Donnell from
Louisiana Tech. That's Terry Bradshaw too, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's two.
Neil O'Donnell, Maryland again, pre-Maryland. Brett Favre, Southern Mississippi. Bledsoe from Washington State.
That's two at Washington State now.
Uh huh. Chris Chandler started for the Falcons. Where was Chris Chandler from? Steve McNair from Alcorn State. Kurt Warner, not from a factory. Dilfer, not from a factory. Kerry Collins from Penn State, but that was Penn State would count. Kerry Collins would count.
Yeah.
Because Penn State was Big Ten at the time.
Chandler
was Washington. So by new rules, Washington would count for the Big Ten. Rich Gannon.
Delaware,
but before Delaware, wasn't he somewhere? Brad Johnson.
I think Delaware has two. Delaware has Gannon and Flacco.
Yeah, and where's Brad Johnson? Because what's the greatest neck to ever play quarterback in the history of the
state? Was he Florida State?
Brad Johnson.
Yeah, he was Florida State.
Yeah, Seminole.
Harrison, where did Jake DeLome go to college?
Jake DeLome.
No, isn't he a New Orleans guy? Yeah. Tulane?
Are we saying the same one? I got Georgia.
Georgia. Oh,
that can't be right.
Jake DeLome.
Is it Georgia?
You got the Google machine.
Yeah, Harrison, you got Jake DeLome. Matt Hasselbeck actually started a Super Bowl for the Seattle Seahawks.
Best overtime moment ever. We won the toss. What did he say? Remember that? Seattle against Green Bay?
Yeah.
Remember that? What did he say at the thing? He said, we'll take the ball and we're going to win the game or something like that.
Yeah, we'll take the ball and win the game. Donovan McNabb, Syracuse. Roethlisberger, Peyton, of course, Tennessee. Rex Grossman, Florida. Eli Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner again. Breeze finally makes the list. Aaron Rodgers from Cal. Kaepernick from Nevada. Flacco from Delaware. Think about that. That a Nevada-Delaware Super Bowl happened. That is spectacular.
Isn't that great?
Cam Newton from Auburn. Matt Ryan.
He's LSU. LSU.
Why does that not resonate with me? Foles. Jared Goff. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Garoppolo. Cal has two because Aaron Rodgers went there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Garoppolo.
He's Northern Illinois.
Uh-huh. Joe Burrow.
That gives them two, because Romo. is Northern Illinois.
Well, Romo never made a Super Bowl, bro. Never started. Yeah, that part. Matt Stafford. Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. And then Mahomes and Brock Purdy.
At the Lomas, Louisiana.
Louisiana. I knew he thought he was the Southern boy. So
Louisiana, in terms of the states, got what, three or four?
Chow. Yeah, Matt Ryan was Boston College. I knew that didn't really. Yeah. Thank you guys. Phil and the other 2366. Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to figure out why that didn't really resonate, but okay. So yeah, so the quarterbacks are all over the place. Yeah. And it's the thing. Here's the deal. We're gonna send the brick and mortar folks in the car. We're gonna send you to the Royals pregame. The rest of you jump over on one of the streams, jump over to the app, jump over to YouTube, X, Facebook, whatever, and hang out with us for the next half hour here on One-on-One.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Yeah, we're all the way down the rabbit hole. There's no bailing. There's no digging it out. There's no digging it out, Barry Thompson.
Hey, listen, I got something before we get rolling. You know, the songs that you have, the bumps are coming in and out, right? They're jammed. Yeah. And I'm going to share this with you because I think it's right up your alley. I was in the store the other day, and all of a sudden this song hit me, and I knew it, and I just started bopping to it. And I get in the car, I look it up, The Pretenders, Middle of the Road, but Chrissy Hynde and The Pretenders. Oh, my God. Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
I'm in the middle of the road.
Well, I did a show for a buddy of mine in Charlotte, and he's a rock guy. And he wanted to know all the songs, the rock songs that black guys like. And I immediately thought of you. Because, right, so me, you, James Hughes, my buddy Cornell, we're kind of the brothers who griff, the brothers who listen to rock. Yeah. And the songs that came up, and he says, ones that come on that you wouldn't think black dudes like know the words to or like. And I start laughing because that came up, Katrina, but that and Katrina and the Waves came up.
Right, right.
And I was like, yeah, Walking on Sunshine is absolutely a bop.
yeah, I mean, you know, the other songs, but I'm telling you, man, I almost did the Carlton right in the middle of the store. It felt like I had my Miami Vice colors on and,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's the vice. Like, you understand that Pat Benatar, Hell is for Children, you absolutely, like, scream it out loud.
Yeah.
You know, and the Debbie Harry in that era, and you go, okay, yeah. So in the 80s and 90s rock, black dudes were listening.
Yeah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So it was there. We figured out that the school with the most quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, is not the school that you would think. And that there are four schools who have never had a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. And it's mind-blowing because, hey, Texas has never had a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. Now, mind you, neither is Texas A&M, but that's a discussion for another time. USC has never had a starting quarterback in a Super Bowl.
And let me say something. If it wasn't for Troy Aikman, UCLA wouldn't have had one either.
Right, right. In the full space, Clemson has never had a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. And then Oregon, the Ducks, have never had a starting quarterback in a Super Bowl. Barry Thompson, what school do you think has the most starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl?
Power Five school.
Power Five.
Power Five.
Mm-hmm. Real quick. There's actually two. They're tied with four. Tied with four. Different conferences.
Cal has two.
Cal has four.
Okay, yeah. Right, Cal?
Cal has four. Joe Capp, Craig Morton.
Oh, I would have forgotten Morton.
Yep. Joe Capp, Craig Morton. They are tied for first. And I think they're actually first because they're giving Alabama credit for Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Because you have Namath, you have Stabler.
Uh huh.
And
one more.
I know. Who else?
He won two MVPs. He won two MVPs, Barry.
Oh, come on. Two MVPs.
He won two MVPs. Come on.
Another Raider? No.
Barry Thompson.
Come on.
He actually won one of those against the Raiders.
No, that's why I can't remember. That's exactly. I blocked it out.
You totally blocked it out.
I blocked it. Yeah, you're daggone right. I blocked it out.
Bart Starr. The very first two MVPs belong to Alabama. And then Notre Dame with three.
Then we got Montana. Who else has come out of there? It's a star.
Seven.
Oh, yeah, come on. Joe Theismann. Heisman. Come on.
Uh-huh. Joe Theismann. and then the other one you should get. The other Barry Thompson.
Paul Lorne? No, but he wasn't a quarterback.
If you don't get this, you can no longer claim.
Stop now. If he's another guy that beat the Raiders, I'm telling you how it happens. I block it out.
No, Barry, he is the Raiders. The Raiders' first starting quarterback in the Super Bowl.
He's number one. Daryl LaMonica.
LaMonica.
The Mad Bomber?
Daryl LaMonica.
The Mad Bomber.
Yes. Daryl LaMonica.
Was a Domer?
Yeah, bro. So you think about it, right?
I thought
you
they go found through. Him on the street.
There's a bunch. Here's where I got stumped. Well, okay, so a correction. Troy Aikman going to UCLA is not the reason why UCLA has a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. They had one before Troy Aikman.
Before Troy.
He wore number 17.
Billy Kilmer. That's right.
Billy Kilmer. Was a UCLA Bruin. He was a halfback at UCLA rather than a quarterback. Went to the pro. Go figure that George Allen turned a running back into a quarterback and still never taught him how to throw.
hey, let me share this. Since we're down the rabbit hole, let me share a little bit of D.C. Stuff with him. In D.C., when Sonny Jurgensen, who went to Duke, and also Billy Kilmer were there, there's a young guy, Joe Theismann, that was a startup. And around D.C. at the time, there was a big thing. Either you were for Sonny or you were for Billy. So from the outside, it looked like they were against each other. But they were really, really, really good friends.
Yeah.
And they when you asked them privately, they said, we don't care who starts as long as it's not that little punk.
Right. Right.
Care. But right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's two sides of that Theismann was drafted by the Miami Dolphins. He was actually supposed to be Bob Greasy's replacement. Mm. Theismann said, I don't want to go to Miami because I'm not going to play. Greasy's their guy. He's not going to retire for another two or three years. He decides he takes the Canadian Football League contract, goes up there. The Redskins trade for him. They have Sonny and Billy Kilmer.
Yeah.
Theismann actually is a punt returner.
Yeah, he wanted to get on the field, so he returned.
Yeah, punt. He was like, I'll do anything. Yeah. But while he was in Canada, it was the year that Greasy snapped his Achilles and they had to go with Earl Morrill. Theismann should have been the guy that led them during their perfect season.
I didn't know that.
He was like, and he goes, way to go, Joe. Like, you could have been, because the thing about it would have changed history. because if he takes over that team, one, you don't know if it goes perfect, but two, if it goes perfect, he's now the new guy for the Miami Dolphins, for Don Shula and the new guy. And Shula actually asked for him to come back. So when Washington played Miami in the Super Bowl, he was like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be my guy. You're supposed to be my guy.
We're talking about stuff 50 years ago.
Right? Like, just to think about that, 1972.
Yeah.
Right? The perfect season. Theismann's up. This is amazing. Like, you just go, how the universe works.
Yeah.
The quarterback play in that time, that Washington State has as many starting quarterbacks. And I have to take, they had Florida listed too. I'm not giving them Cam Newton. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But Delaware has the same number as Oklahoma and Washington State and Penn State.
Yeah.
That's like the numbers you just go, like, we get caught up in giving people credit for stuff they haven't done. But quite frankly, we were talking earlier, Jay and I were talking, or actually Austin and I were talking, and Nebraska, as they prepare for their season, people have been talking about Dylan Raiola. But I wanted to make a point, and I you can speak to this. I wanted to make a point because what you want for a young quarterback is a 1A receiver. You need an absolute dog at 1A. And to think of who that would be for Nebraska, and I said, so I made some phone calls. A coach from back east called me and said, Nebraska's got one.
Okay.
And he goes, I heard you talking about it, but you forget. There's a dog from Arlington, Virginia, who's on the Husker roster. He lists himself from Washington, D.C., but this cat played at O'Connell before he went to St. Francis.
Is that right?
He went to St. Francis. And you remember St. Francis at the time, he was the MVP on a St. Francis team. That was the number four basketball team in the country. And he was one of 11 Division I players on that senior squad from St. Francis with guys like Blake Corum.
Wow.
Right? That St. Francis that year.
Blake Corum is another DMV guy too, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
That they were all on the same St. Francis team.
Yeah.
That produced six Under Armour All-Americans just the one year. And they said, well, listen, if Nebraska needs a dude, one, he's going to catch 50-plus balls for him in the fall. But if they need a point guard, they need a wing, a 6'4 wing who can defend two positions on the floor. Young Jamal Banks is their guy. Jamal Banks, who started it at O'Connell.
Wow.
Transferred to St. Francis to play at St. Francis Prep. Went to Wake Forest, put up the numbers down at Wake Forest, transferred to Nebraska, and all the coaches back there went through, talked to Paul the Sixth, and they went, we didn't have an answer for the guy. Like, we didn't, DeMatha, we didn't have an answer for the guy. Had 10 catches against us in high school. And I went, well, that's a statement, because you weren't getting 10 catches against Paul the Sixth, DeMatha, or Good Counsel. And wow. Jamal Banks did that.
Yeah.
So I kind of said, well, I feel a little better about the Nebraska Kool-Aid if you're telling me that Jamal Banks is their 1A. So Barry, you can speak to that DC DMV Catholic League level of play.
Yeah.
And
just around here, I mean, in the Big Ten, you guys are going to get a little taste of Justice Ellison. You met him at the
met him at Big Ten Media.
Justice is another DMV guy. I mean, low key, when you put the number of Division I guys that are coming here and pros that eventually come from this area, the only thing that stops it from being a mass is that they're kind of spread out, right? So, like, Corum is from out in Centerville, and they may go, Justice is a Southern Maryland guy, but played, at Flint Hill.
Yeah.
But they're here. They're here. And a lot of times they all know each other through basketball.
Well, youth. I mean, that they had from that roster alone, six Under Armour seniors that year, just in 2018. And you just go, wow, if you look at their schedule, they were the number they were number four in the country, and absolutely destroyed DeMatha, Good Counsel, McNamara. Yeah, they beat up some folks.
And DP, just on that 2018-2019 year around here.
Yep.
You could circle a lot of guys that were around here at that time, and they kind of came out. I think like most places, sometimes things come in waves. Mm-hmm. And that 2018-2019 period, if you look at this area, you're going to see a high level of productivity at the Division I level.
Well, they had the defensive end from Alabama. Mm-hmm. They had Tennessee. They had Maryland. They had Penn State. They had Florida and Alabama twice on just plus Blake Corum at running back. Corum was the state MVP, was the league MVP, but the kid from Alabama was the higher rate. They had 4 5-star and 5 4-star on the same high school team in the same senior class. And I just said, as good as they were in football, that Jamal Banks could have helped them in basketball.
Yeah. And you know, low key, when you talk about the WCAC, DeMatha and Good Counsel's had a good run lately. But low key, Gonzaga is pretty consistent about putting out players as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's your number three team in the conference.
Yeah,
loaded, bro. To try to explain. All right, Barry, we'll go to one more break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the difference between running quarterbacks who can pass and passing quarterbacks who can run, quarterbacks who can do both. But more importantly, what are you cooking, Barry?
All right, baby. Let's go now.
We'll have that with Barry Thompson
when we come back. Hey, take a look at that clip I sent you, too.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, Barry Thompson, man, down the rabbit hole. Before we get to what you're cooking, So here's that St. Francis lineup of Blake Corum from Michigan, Jamal Banks, of course, who originally went to Wake Forest, now Nebraska. Defensive end Chris Braswell from Alabama. Defensive tackle Dominic Bailey of Tennessee. Safety Jordan Tolles, LSU. Outside linebackers, plural, Osman Savage and Nakai Hill Green. Offensive tackles at Pitt and Maryland, Ja'Kai Green and Michael Statham amongst the group. Barry,
they
scored 634 points in 13 games and only gave up 60.
And I bet you they remember every point they gave up to.
Here's the thing. They went to Gilman Factory, 44-7. They went to Bingham. They went to Utah. Went to Salt Lake City and went to Bingham, which is where BYU, the factory of BYU, they thumped them 51-3. They went to their closest game of the year, Don Bosco. And they beat them 27-0, sadly disappointed. This is a thing. It's amazing, right? Yep. That they went to Silver Oak and put a 53-0 burger on them. When you talk about the DMV and the quality of play, that they left the DC Catholic area and said, nah, give me all of the national ranked teams. We're just going to put a beating on them.
Love it.
What are you cooking, Barry Thompson? What are you eating?
Shrimp saganaki. It's a Greek dish.
Give it to me.
Real easy. About 30 minutes total. You get home, put the stove on 450, cut up some onions, cut up some garlic. You know what to do. A little oil in the pan, a little salt and pepper, a little strange ingredient, about a teaspoon of cinnamon. You take what's called passata or just tomato puree. You pour that in. You have your chickpeas. If you buy them in the can, just drain them and get all that other stuff off. Put them in, warm those up. A little bit of parsley in there. And then just warm it up. And then once it's kind of all warm, take it off the stove, put your shrimp on the top, and then take about 4 ounces of feta cheese and just kind of break it up and throw a little bit of parsley in there, shove it in the oven for about 6 or 7 minutes, and then you have some shrimp saganaki. It is delicious.
I'm showing Harrison the picture so he can see.
And real quick about the running quarterbacks, I just looked something up. We talked about the guys with mustaches and what school they came for. I looked up the top 12 running quarterbacks. Of the top 12, 8 of them have Super Bowl appearances. So there you go.
A change in the philosophy,
yep.
Right? Because the old thing was running quarterbacks would never win a Super Bowl.
Well, here's what's significant about them is the lowest average, I think, is Elway's, which is 4.4 rush. The highest is 6 yards a rush is Vic. But we were just talking about this with the quarterbacks. When is 5 yards ever a bad thing? There's only a couple down and distance situations where 5 yards is a bad thing. 4th and 6. You have some 3rd and 6 situations, right? I say some because you could be, you know, 4th and 3rd and 6 and get 5, and it puts you up to 20. You got 1 yard to go. But there's a lot of situations where 5 yards helps you move the chains, and that's what you see with those quarterbacks. 8 of the 12, top 12, have it. And surprisingly, Josh Allen has more touchdowns than Lamar Jackson.
Yep, it is a thing in play that the change in philosophy, the change of the athlete, and most importantly, change of the access. Like, stop, get over the nonsense that running quarterbacks can't win in the NFL. It is a silly thing. Barry Thompson, thank you, kind sir.
All right.
What you do, greatly appreciate it. We'll throw it to the break when we come back. It'll be DeMornay Pearsonell, the Don't Punt Hour, coming up here on 93.7 The Ticket.
Peace out.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.